Hey there guys, before we begin this week's episode, I just wanted to apologize for the day late release. I've been flying out to Dallas, Texas to meet with everyone at Infinite Esports Entertainment for my future role as Strategic Partnerships Director. Really exciting stuff, but unfortunately with the flight time and having to reorganize this a few times, we were only able to record it on Tuesday rather than on Monday like we normally would. So without further ado, please enjoy this week's episode of the Esports Roundtable podcast. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Esports Roundtable podcast, where we discuss the past, present and future of all things business and esports. I'm your host, Joe Hills from Looking for Group, and today we are diving into the wonderful world of esports merchandise. To take us on this journey, we are joined by the man himself, John Gurman, the CEO of Monica, which owns Hax, which is the world-renowned esports merchandising brand that have partnered with ESL and DreamHack as their official partner as of this year, I believe. John, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Awesome. So before we dive into the meat and potatoes of today's episode, it'll be great just to hear your story and how you got to where you are now with Monica in just a few minutes. What kind of provoked your interest in esports?
Basically, I was with some young guys. When I say young, they could have been between 25 and 30 years old. I come from the fashion and licensing consumer products business. And the guys were showing me, they're playing on Twitch, and they were showing me all everything that was going on with gaming on Twitch, and I was watching it, and then they went in to show me some of the stuff like esports, what's happening in esports, and I sort of like within 10 minutes I was saying, wow, I can't believe like all that streaming and all these kids and all over the world, and you're playing with everybody, and I said, this is huge. And I also noticed, I said, this is huge phenomena, what's going on here. Basically, I said, I looked at a lot of the players and when they were showing me the esports, live ESL and different games, different events. And I, noticed the way that the players were dressed and the players weren't I thought that they could be dressed a lot better, like, the right uniforms, instead of wearing like polyester jerseys and sure. They all wore different colored jeans and stuff like that. So I saw a white space and said, wow, I can really help these guys and help the sport.
Awesome.
Basically.
Awesome. So, under the Monica arm, is Hax the kind of flagship brand or what are the other kind of strings to your bow under Monica?
So, under Monica, Monica is a corporate company and, we are brand management, brand building, company. And, I said, we need to build a brand that would be endemic to, sport. Same way that, Vans is to skateboarding or Burton is to snowboarding.
Sure.
Or Billabong is to surfing. Hax, basically the bottom line, Hax is to gaming and esports. We're an endemic esport brand and our product is built thinking about the gamer. Thinking how we can make them more comfortable, how we can make them play better, and how they can look like winners and warriors.
I love it. So looking at the commercial landscape of the esports industry, a very large percentage of that is propped up on investment and mostly sponsorship revenue so far, which in itself is a relatively unstable kind of foundation to be forming an industry upon. Merchandise is going to be a massive part of kind of stabilizing and actually helping to grow the esports industry as a whole across its various titles, engaging with new fans, and that also helps tell those unique stories between teams and titles about why a fan should be engaged with their products. You know, what does this brand mean to them in the form of a logo or in the form of comfort? From your experience working in the merchandising side of the industry, how have you seen the merch aspect of esports actually evolve over the last few years, and what would you like to see be improved by either team-specific brands or non-endemic sports and lifestyle brands actually stepping into the space?
So, yeah, good question. Basically, you know, there has been a change over the last year of teams wanting to look better, have better graphics on their t-shirts or on jerseys or jackets. But that's great, and that's happening in the space. That's not basically what we are doing. We are fashionable. We are performance. But basically, and a lot of people say, well, a lot of people have said to us, and even on our Twitter, they said, well, what is eSport clothes? Is it over? What is that? Is it oversized pockets that you put your pizza and your Coke in? is it like, how's this one? Do you attach a decatheter to the guy or while he's playing, so sure, he doesn't have to get up for 26 hours? I thought that was a riot, and I used that. We're making innovative product. Okay. So we've come up with, let's say, arm padding in your jerseys. So it's sort of like you take, an Under Armour type, jersey that has all the antibacterials and wicking performance, bacterial, as well as when you're playing and your arms are down, we have a patented arm padding out from the elbow all the way down to your, wrist that basically will help the players be more comfortable and, play, you know, hopefully play better, feel good.
Sure. So it's more of a training round then.
Yeah, well, definitely in the performance part of it. We're basically really, really about performance and making the players not only look better when they're playing, but also feel better as they're playing. And we're going to come out with more. We have more things in the pipeline of smart clothes, basically. These clothes are going to be very smart, smarter than I am.
Sure.
Because, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So
there is and then there's the leisure streetwear element of the brand as well. So that would be post pregame or when they're just streaming, or just like out and hanging out and stuff like that. So okay. It covers the whole gamut.
So it's quite interesting that you raise kind of both those two avenues of focus for Hacks, because if you look at how a lot of traditional merchandising brands would position themselves, they would go for one or the other. They would either specialize in performance or they would go straight for lifestyle. We're seeing that with other kind of esports teams, like 100 Thieves are going 100% down that lifestyle piece. Do you think that going down both avenues at once, do you think that confuses the consumer about what the Hacks brand actually means? Or is the more aggressive player there just really to kind of capitalize on the lack of activity in this area of esports?
You know, it's a very good question, and focus is good. I'm not saying focus is great. We felt that when the players are playing, they need that performance. But when we go to a lot of events, and we have a lot of players, we could have like 150 players at an event wearing our hoodies. They want to engage in that streetwear brand. This brand is a brand. If you look, Adidas has performance, and Adidas has also streetwear, a lot of streetwear today.
Sure, Nike, but that's taken years to get to that point, right? Yeah, it's taken a long time. If you're confident in the experience, and that's great. It's just I've seen from other areas of the industry that you know, they're kind of making sure that the products that they put out in the short term, I'm not saying that yours aren't, but speak to a very specific aspect of the esports audience, be that performance, be that lifestyle. And we're kind of seeing that from some of the non-endemic brands that are looking at esports as well. You know, what would their entry look like? How realistically can they utilize what their brand values are with such a young and engaged audience like we have in esports?
Actually, you know, we basically have an unfair advantage in the space because, you know, most of the companies that are doing apparel are they're brand new in the apparel business, or they're printing. They're basically printing shops that can print on T-shirts in a flash and do the team jerseys and stuff like those type of things. That's not what we're about. We're about fashion and performance. So, and our stuff is basically our collections are very technical. They're more difficult to produce than you know, printing on T-shirts. So same like a lot of guys in the sport today that are doing jerseys that came from, let's say, the music space, and they used to do music event merch, and now they're going into esport merch and stuff like that. So it's a little bit it's different.
Okay.
They all work. Those guys are very important. And we don't have that. But that's not to say, that we won't buy a company like that if we wanted to.
Sure. Keeping on the straight and narrow, I'm just firing quite a lot of pretty loaded questions at you. It's just because it's such an important area of the industry that we kind of collectively need to get right. I mean, I'm looking, I was down at the Riot LCS Studios in Los Angeles at the start of the year, and I was looking at the kind of quality of the merch there, and it's, you know, massive logos, not particularly high quality. Then you go over to the Overwatch League, it's very much orientated around the performance side with some periphery items. So, you know, having brands that are stepping into the space that can really breed quality and actually make sure that everyone's being looked after are super important. Do you think from a stylistic perspective that the kind of style of the kind of traditional esports and gaming merch, which is really in your face, massive logos, do you think that that's going to give way to more of a kind of minimalist lifestyle piece, which, you know, if you're in the club, you know, if you're in the esports club and if you're in the know, maybe you'll recognize the logo, but realistically people could be wearing team affiliated or game affiliated merchandise without having to scream it from the rooftops. Do you think that's the way that we're going, or do you still see that kind of large logo, more abrupt style of merchandise sticking around for a long time?
Well, okay, so good question. When you talk about performance, I see minimal logo. I see minimal not in your face as much on the performance aspect. When you talk about streetwear, streetwear goes with the trend. So if the trend is like, wow, it's a lot of big graphics and stuff now today, that's where you go. And then the trends will tell us basically where we're going. And still, you know, esports is still the wild, wild west. And, you know, we talk to a lot of players about, before we launch product, we test it with them, when we get their feedback. We're a brand for the players. I consider every fan, every player, every gamer, I want them, they're on my board of directors. They're all on my board of directors. And so the answer to your question is, I say, really, it will go with what the trends are. So, what I mean by trends is what's happening in fashion, in streetwear and stuff like that.
Sure. So will esports always be reactionary to what's going on elsewhere? There are overarching fashion trends that will come in. I mean, we're seeing like a massive rise in the kind of shoe fashion and sneakers and that sort of thing, especially like over the last few years, and there's like a massive amount of entrepreneurial spirit around certain people buying up limited edition, you know, like the insane success of the likes of Supreme and others are being a great example of that. Esports has to be reactionary in that way?
Yeah, you know, listen, you go to a lot of the events, you see the kids are wearing, they're wearing Supreme, or they're wearing Off-White, or maybe some of them are wearing Off-White, or they're wearing Superdry, or they're wearing Vans or Gap or whatever. But what we want to do is we want everybody to endorse, all the gamers to endorse and wear a gaming brand, wear the coolest brand. We're going to be as equivalent to any of those brands that I just mentioned, but it's going to be born out of gaming. And that's their brand. It's everyone in gaming's brand. So wear it and support it, basically. I've seen when I did UFC, and then you had brands like Tap Out and And these brands, there was a, they had a specific look to them that lasted a long time. And you know, with the skulls and all that thing.
Yeah, and the fire and the violence. Yeah. I'm a massive UFC fan. Yeah.
So Ed Hardy and they had their tattoos. I had a piece of Ed Hardy as well. And again, it was all what worked for them. You know, we believe that, we are going to be a streetwear brand that is, that has pieces and is endemic to, gaming, but does not, but people that are in the gaming space will know, hey, that's a Hacks brand. People out of the space will wear it just because it's cool. And they won't know that it's even a Hacks, that it's a gaming brand, but they're going to wear it. Just like a lot of people today will go into Vans store, you know, and they'll wear Vans, but they don't even know like Vans was a skate brand. There is a skate brand. They just bought it.
You know? Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know, like Vans or Woofalo, whatever is big, like to a certain extent.
And that's when we know that we made it, when we got people outside the space wearing our brands as well as inside the space.
So what are the steps that you're going to take to actually get the brand to this point? Because, you know, like you've had some great endemic success, and I've been looking through some of the products. They look pretty great. I mean, I'm more of like a minimalist guy. I would not wear anything with a massive logo on it, because I feel like it's a bit too much for me. But you know, what are the steps that you're going to take? Because if you want to represent the entirety of the space, if you're doing individual team partnerships, that might dissuade some others. If you're going to do limited edition drops, you know, what's the step for you? Is it going to be like a massive content piece? Are you going to be partnering with specific athletes? What are the next steps for you?
So we're hoping that after this interview, we go viral. That's number one. Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah. So number two, I have 30 kids in our lab, in the Hacks lab here. 30 kids come in. And there are kids that we have subtle stuff that just have, that doesn't scream Hacks or prints all over the place. Some of the kids want more subtle. Some of the kids want all the loaded stuff. We have everything in the collection. You go to our website for our first collection, h4x.gg, and you can see the mix of different fashion styles. And our line for the fall of 18 is going to be sick.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm just super excited to see how this area of the industry matures, and I think you guys are in a great position with the partnerships that you have already. But it's super exciting. I've just got one or two more questions to ask you before I let you go. We like to kind of, whilst we like to dive deep down on the esports business side, we also like to kind of learn some lessons for life as well. So I'm just going to hit you up with a few rapid fire questions. Throughout your years in business, who's been your biggest mentor? And what's the kind of the best piece of advice that stuck with you after meeting that person?
This is a family business, basically, that was, was started as a family business. And I'd have to say that my father instilled the work ethic in me. So it's really work ethic. We have a saying, you go, you get. You don't go, you don't get. And I basically work, a lot of people will say you gotta have a balanced life. I gotta be honest with you. I may have a balanced life, but it's balanced towards work. So we're working a lot, but I enjoy it. If you enjoy it and you have the passion and you work it and you go and get, you go, you get. And you may not get what you went to go for, but you'll get something else, because one thing leads to another. So hard work, passion, have fun at what you're doing, basically, and your reputation, it means everything. So the biggest piece of advice is, if you're honest with people and you take care of your customers, they will take care of you. So your reputation, because if you lose your reputation, you got Nothing.
Awesome, man. Well, you've just hit my my other two questions on the head that I was going to ask you afterwards. But
sorry about that.
You are destroying the structure of my show. How dare you?
Hold on. I have another model. So one our big model for many years has been you go, you get. You'll see it on a lot of what we post. And so you go, you get. You don't go, you don't get. Right. My other one is I say to people is I'm not mean. I just mean business.
I like so, it. It works.
Yeah. I'm not mean. I just mean business. So listen, we want people to tell us how much they love our product or what they would like to see in the product. Or if they don't like our product, why they don't like it. Because it will make us better. That's all. You know? You know, I sort of look at, remember the Muppets, the Muppet Show, right? And you had the two guys up in the stand, the two old men, and they're always insulting, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Those guys are so funny. I love those guys, and I love the way. So, yeah, be like those, if you want, yeah, be like those guys and give us constructive criticism. And the funniest thing that happened to me, like I said to you this year, was once somebody on social media said, well, what's eSport clothes? You put like the catheter. I thought that was a riot.
All right, man. Well, that's all we have time for this episode. How can everyone reach out to you if they want to get in touch, either by LinkedIn or Twitter?
Yeah, best way, guys, H4XGG, H4XGG, and H4XGG. Lots of H4XGGs. Twitter, Instagram, H4XG, Facebook. Let me see. What else? I feel like Howard Stern here. Where Sean? What else do we got? We got any other social media?
YouTube,
Twitch. I don't know. You'll find us at a lot of the events. You'll just find it. Yeah, send us stuff. Anyone wants to know information on us? Anyone wants to do? We're open for. Like I said, we're open to talk to people in the sport. And you know, we have a lot to offer. And you know, I'm probably the oldest guy in this industry, but the youngest guy in it. Meaning, I've only been in it like 2-3 years now, but I'm the oldest guy in it. So I'm the newest, but the oldest.
I feel
you. But I got a lot of experience. So a lot of people, I'm happy to teach people a lot of good stuff. We're going to be at DreamHack Marseille this weekend. DreamHack Marseille, anyone wants to come? We're giving out like, free swag there and stuff like that. Come ask for Johnny G. That's me. It's my nickname, Johnny G. Come look for us. H4X at Marseille. And then we'll be at ESL Cologne after that, I guess.
All right, man.
Well, I'll be in London after that. So maybe I'll come by the studio.
Yeah.
Cheerio.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Thank you very much, sir. Hit him up at DreamHack and ESL. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Esports Roundtable podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, I am on Twitter at BarelyQualified. Yes, I will spell it in the description for you. John, thank you very much for the time. We will speak to you next week.